Into the 4 o'clock hour we go. Hope you enjoyed our countdown today. A little peek into what we're thinking about over here. Hopefully you'll kind of keep that in mind next time you're writing some mean letter to us or text
actually,
or tweet. We care, actually, about it.
If you are going to write something mean, just know that when I read it...
You're going to start crying?
No, I will laugh and I will move on.
You'll be able to laugh and move on. Okay, good.
Yeah.
You remember Baez, the Cardinal guy who hit 3 home runs in his first 3 at-bats, then went like 0 for 100 or whatever?
Yes.
He finally hit his 4th home run tonight. And that's good news because it helps the Cardinals jump ahead of the Phillies 2-0 in the early going. Padres are a game, or 2 games, I think, actually, back of the Phillies right now for that spot on the wild card. You know, we're going to get to...
Yes, you're correct. 2 games.
Chris versus the fans, 833-288-0973, and a good day... Good week to play Chris versus the fans because we're giving away tickets and you're not qualifying. You're actually getting tickets to see Luke Combs, who's, I guess, that big a deal.
Yeah. So, I don't think we've ever given away tickets like 10 months before.
Right.
That's how big of a deal he is.
Yeah, I guess.
And people are like, how can I get in on these tickets? And
well, I told you,
you
that
have to play.
I told you that somebody I know in the hotel industry said that they're raising rates that week in San Diego for people who fly in to see the concert.
Wow. I mean, I understand.
That's what
the
they do for, like, for the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Not Luke Combs, I didn't think.
Man.
But anyway, you can win those in a minute. But, you know, I jokingly said at the top of the show that the Padres-Twins game tonight is a possible World Series preview.
Could be.
It could be, right? Both are in the number 6 spot right now. The final wild card. Twins in the American League have that same spot as the Padres. And so I did a little, this is like very quick, Scrab, but the stuff I like to do, it's a small sample size. There's only been 4 seasons so far of the current playoff format in baseball, where the 6 teams make it from each league.
Feels like a lot more.
I know. It started in 2022, so there's only been 4 seasons of this. The year the Padres went to the NLCS against the Phillies was the first season of 6 teams.
Interesting.
Yeah. So there's been 4 seasons, which means you've had 4 National League playoffs and 4 American League playoffs. Out of those 8 playoffs, the teams with a bye, right? Because everybody wants to fight for those first or second spots so you don't have to play.
Yeah.
The team with a bye has won the gone to the World Series 4 times.
Hmm.
And the teams without a bye, who've had to play in the first 2 out of 3 round, have also gone to the World Series 4 times. So what I mean, like the very first 2022, the Phillies were the 6th seed that year. They made it to the World Series. Houston was the number 1. The next year, Arizona made it as a number 6 seed against Texas, who was a 5. And then the Yankees, Dodgers were both number 1 seeds. And last year, the Dodgers were a 3 seed. Toronto was a 1. The point being, according to the small sample size, you have a exact same chance to get to the World Series if you play the first round as if you don't play the first round.
So
at least in the small sample size so far.
So basically what you're telling me is that all of the discussion and criticism about the first round, it doesn't really matter.
Well, right. People say that there's a big advantage to playing in the first
or
round.
Or a disadvantage because you're
disadvantage
not playing baseball.
Because you're sitting out. But it really has just been 50-50. But I think what it shows me is that being the number 6 seed matters. People are like, well, you're getting to get in, but you're going to lose. Not necessarily. That hasn't happened. 2 number 6 seeds have made the World Series, and a number 5 seed has made the World Series.
I wonder how much of that is just random coincidence.
I think it's random coincidence, but that's the whole point. Get into the playoffs and take your shot.
Yeah, anything can happen.
Right. Whereas in football, although 6 and 7 seeds have advanced in the playoffs, they don't get to the Super Bowl very often. Once in a very long while it happens.
Yeah, you have to have a
perfect
storm.
But you normally want to be, you know, have some home games in the playoffs to increase your chances of going to the Super Bowl. That hasn't really been the case in baseball. Let's go to Chris versus the fans. See what else stuff I know.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself.
Howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, football is back on, and it's on TV right now, and it's just it's nice to know that Geno Smith is still getting crushed no matter what team he's on. He just
even in
destroyed.
A preseason game. Yeah, don't tell Geno it's a preseason game.
Oh, my goodness.
He got the pass away, though, nicely.
There was one play where he just got de-cleated by a safety or a linebacker, but that doesn't feel
yeah,
good.
Yeah, these preseason games to me are idiotic, but don't tell it to the players that are getting crunched out there.
Crunched and, yeah. And trying to make a team or something. But yeah, Geno Smith feeling that one. All right, you have to make it through three questions. Each question is going to get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get it wrong and Chris gets it right, you're eliminated. But if Chris gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question or you win. If you're a first-time player, let us know before you get into it, and you'll get that question for free.
Or a combatant.
Today, or an entrant.
All right. Good one. Entrant.
Entrant was a good one. Combatant was a good one, too.
First time entrant.
Let's go to Chrissy. We're doing this now. 1-6.
Oh, you want me to put the pressure on?
Yeah.
I try to mix it up, but I forget what I choose. 2 today.
2 is Dan the Man.
Oh.
Hello, Dan.
Mr. the Man.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you?
Doing great.
Good luck to you today, Dan.
You ready?
I hope so.
All right, here we go. Although I don't agree with this question, which NFL franchise is often referred to by the nickname America's Team?
Oh, I was telling my daughter, I said, I hope they don't give me an NFL question because I'm not a big NFL guy. But I do know this is the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, he knows that one.
All right. I'm glad that you knew that. It's a false premise.
Why is it a false premise?
Because no one cares about the Cowboys anymore.
I disagree. They put them on the darn first game of the year every time. Why? Because they're the Cowboys. It's not because they're 7-9-1 last year.
No, they
or 7-10 the year before.
They
move the needle.
They think they're the Cowboys.
No, they move the needle, Scraby. The proof is in who's on TV, and the Cowboys are always stupidly on. I don't want to watch them.
All right.
But somebody does.
All right. Here we go for Dan's question number 2. Here's a baseball question. Who is the only player in Major League history to win the MVP award in both American League and the National League?
Well, you better double check this one, my friend, because there's more than one.
Now there's more. Oh, well, never mind. Yes, because I know one.
It's Shohei.
Yeah, you get it. You got it.
You're going for Frank Robinson?
I was.
Who was the only guy to do it before Shohei.
But I didn't even.
You have to give it to Dan. He came up with it. Very good.
Oh, yeah, that is an answer.
Did you know Frank Robinson, Dan? Just for the hell of it.
I was going to say Frank Robinson. I was confused.
Okay. Well, you got it either way because they both did it.
Yeah.
It's another erroneous question. This is why I don't know why you use AI and ChatGPT.
I don't use it anymore.
Because it screws up as much as you.
I don't use it anymore. I found that question. Right. I just did not think it through.
You didn't update it.
I didn't update it.
Anyway, Dan is on to the final.
All right, here we go. I never knew this until I found this. Why was the Green Monster at Fenway Park originally built?
Why was the Green Monster originally
built? Fenway Park originally built.
What? I mean, it's the wall. Like, there's a road right out on the other side of it. So they have a street. I don't know. What kind of question is this?
What kind of question is this? There is a specific reason that they did this.
Because there's a freeway back there, and they didn't want the ball landing on the freeway.
That's what he just said.
Oh, well, then I'm wrong. That's what I thought.
That's it?
Yeah, I don't know.
Wow, Dan. It was actually because they wanted to prevent people viewing the games from outside of the park, so they built the Green Monster so no one could see it.
Oh, those cheapskate Red Sox people. The Cubs let people view.
I thought that was pretty amazing.
You love that, huh?
To know that. Because I've always thought, why did they create the Green Monster? And so yeah, I looked it up.
That's not a very good reason. But it's a winning reason for Dan. Congratulations, Dan. You will go see Luke Combs if you remember to go. The concert isn't for another 10 months. But you'll get the tickets. Scraby will get you squared away here. We'll take a quick timeout. We're going to have some, Scraby loves when I say this.
Fun with football?
Some fun with football. The NFL is coming up. We got to get you ready for the season. We'll do some NFL stuff. Oh, the Jets are on the board at Pittsburgh. I tell you, the Jets are looking good, Scraby. Preseason, they're looking like a team that's going to be reckoned with this year.
That was a strong drive down the field.
Oh, man, they went right through the old Steelers. Look out. More Gwynn and Chris ahead. Gwynn and Chris, 97.3 The Fan. Scraby and I are watching exciting preseason football. We could all go to the other TV, Scraby, and watch Cam Schlittler work tonight for the Yanks.
I'm watching both.
Yeah. Earlier today, great matchup between Mizorowski and Chris Sale. Mizorowski got the win, 2-1, Milwaukee over Atlanta. Padres and Twins coming up tonight. And we'll go out to Sam Levitt's pregame show here in a little while. I believe that'll come up at 5:30 or so. Before then, you'll hear the Big Five. You'll also hear our Friar Friday interview with Padres lefty Robbie Ray. But we have a moment here to have some fun with football.
Yes, we do. Oh, was that my cue?
That was your cue.
Okay.
Here's what I'm noticing, Scraby. I have a little preseason storyline to share. Do you realize right now there are 9 rookies drafted to play wide receiver this year that are currently on the starter depth chart for their teams?
Really? Okay.
9 of them. Now, I think Randy Moss or Jerry Rice and stuff, you know, those guys came in, right? But there was a time wide receivers could not play the first year or even two because they had a lot of, and I'd love to have Camarillo on to talk about this, but wide receivers had more responsibilities in terms of, you know, when to break off the pattern, you know, if there was a blitz. There was a lot of things that it took wide receiver and blocking and things like that. Now these guys just come right in and they play right away and they produce right away.
Except for Marvin Harrison Jr.
Well, he's still trying to find his way, but he's still a starter. I mean, it's not like he's a complete failure.
No, he's not.
But here's some guys to
keep... He's a fantasy failure.
He is, to this point. But here's some guys to keep an eye on if you're, getting into the season here. First rounder, the 4th overall pick, Carnell Tate from Ohio State. Yeah. He's with the Titans. They're saying nothing but great things. He's a starter. He might be their number one guy. The Titans got another guy, too, in free agency that I think's over under the radar. What is it, Wandale Robinson?
Oh, really? They do have... Oh, yeah. He's pretty good.
He's one of the only 4 receivers to be over 100 catches the last 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, I don't know how he...
But he doesn't
like, averages like 7 catches a game.
Right, but nobody seems to know much about him. All right, here's the second rookie you might want to watch for, Jordan Tyson out of Arizona State. He's going to be lined up with Olave on the Saints. Another one, the Eagles are starting a rookie wide receiver, at least for the moment. You know, I'm looking at the depth chart, and this is the receiver from USC, Mekhi Lemon.
Yeah.
He's an Eagle, and they're looking for him to step in. By the way, I think A.J. Brown leaving the Eagles is going to be subtraction or addition by subtraction.
I agree.
A lot of people think it's going to – how are they going to replace him? I don't think they're going to struggle at all. I think Jalen Hurts is going to be so happy that this pain in his backside is out of there.
It just seems like there's a dark cloud that follows A.J. Brown. I mean...
You should like A.J. Brown.
Me?
Yes.
Personally?
Without him, the 49ers don't win that playoff last year.
I mean...
He dropped the game away to you at the end of the 4th quarter there.
I would have rather lost that game to get embarrassed by the Seahawks the next
That's
day.
That's right. He could have saved you. Casey Concepcion out of Texas A&M. He's a Cleveland Brown receiver. And then the other first rounder that's in the number one on the depth chart right now, Omar Cooper Jr. out of Indiana with the J-E-T-S Jets. But there's more. The first pick in the second round is on the depth chart for the Niners, DeShon Stribling. Yeah. You've loved this guy.
Yeah.
It's a little early because it's preseason, yeah, but so far so good. He's out of Ole Miss.
Yeah, they say that that was a reach for the 49ers.
Not yet. He's looking pretty good. Denzel Boston out of the University of Washington.
Do you remember David Boston? Do they have any sort of relation?
Oh, I do remember David Boston. You could look it up. Denzel is with the Browns. So the Browns have a couple of young wide receivers out there to chase around wayward throws from Deshaun Watson. Good luck to them. And then there's a couple of third round. Actually, this guy's another second round. Sorry. Caleb Douglas. I told you about him last week. He's with the Dolphins. He is a third-round pick out of Texas Tech. He's impressed the Dolphins. Of course, he's in a wide receiver room where none of the other guys have ever even caught a pass.
I mean, Tyreek's not under contract, right?
No. He's a free agent completely. So
I'm surprised, and I know that he put out a video saying he wasn't ready to go or he would be ready to go, but yeah. I'm surprised no team. The stinking Seahawks signed Terry and Arnold before someone signed Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, if you're going for guys that are notorious, Terrion Arnold, way more than Tyreek.
Yes.
The final receiver in the rookie class, Jacoby Lane out of USC, another one starting with the Ravens. So that's interesting to me. You got nine guys. It'd be interesting to see which ones break out, which don't. But that's a lot. It used to be zero. Like, if you got drafted early, in the NFL, first, second, third, you didn't do anything for a couple years. Now, different deal.
Definitely different.
Similar, similar a lot to quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Quarterbacks are coming in right now, and they're good. A la Jaden Daniels, a lot of these guys. So, ESPN did a thing today, and I just thought I'd have some fun with this. ESPN breaking down the best and the worst in different categories on the field. I enjoyed this because, they mentioned the team that's the worst in each category. So, for example, at quarterback, they said the best quarterback room is Buffalo. I'm not going to argue with that. The worst is Arizona.
Okay.
Jacoby Brissett and company.
Yeah.
All right. So that's that. Now, wide receiver, best. Who do you think's the best wide receiver group? The whole group, not just one guy.
In the NFL?
Yeah, who would be the best wide receiver room, as it were?
I
think you'll agree with this.
I'm not going to get into it.
Yeah, it's okay. Bengals. Got Jamar. You got T. Higgins.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
The worst, the first championship category for the Dolphins. They don't have any wide receivers I don't think have ever even caught a pass.
That's why Devon Achane's going to touch the ball 40 times
a game.
That's
right. Tight end room. This is, whatever. Best is Las Vegas because they got Brock Bowers.
I think they have
Trey McBride's right there with Arizona. At worst, again, Dolphins. They don't even have a tight end.
Whatever happened to Darren Waller?
Oh, God.
He actually signed a contract.
He played like one game, caught three touchdowns, and then got hurt and never I don't know. He was
disaster. I'm pretty sure that I played against him in that game, which is
right. He might have had that one moment. Yeah,
thing.
That's bad luck. Offensive line, the best. Hard to argue with this. I don't follow offensive lines too much, but Denver gets the call here. And apparently Denver's got the starting five, third straight year, same five guys.
That's valuable.
That's very valuable. Worst offensive line goes to the Texans. So
good luck, CJ Stroud.
Yeah, finally a category that the Dolphins don't win. Interior defensive line, the Seahawks are the best. And the Raiders are the worst.
Mm.
Edge rusher. Steelers get the call with TJ Watt, Alex Highsmith, some of these other guys. I don't break this down. But the worst edge rushing team, the Dolphins again.
Whatever happened to Chop?
He's the best they have, and they say he regressed so much last year.
That's awesome.
Right, so they don't even think he's any good. off-ball linebacker. This is weird to me. The Jets win this category.
Like,
how could the Jets win any category?
Did they name someone?
DeMario Davis, apparently, is a great linebacker. I don't know. The worst in that category goes to the Colts. Cornerback, the best, Houston Texans, and they are good there.
Stingley.
Derek Stingley and Lassiter and some of these guys. The worst, Time for the Dolphins to win again.
This means that the Aztecs guy's a part of
this.
Well,
he gets a good mention here, though. It says first-round rookie Chris Johnson does offer some hope.
Okay, good.
But the rest of it...
But everybody else weighs him down.
The rest, you and I could beat and get open again. Storm Duck, some of these other Dolphins.
Storm Duck.
He's a starter.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. One more. A safety best goes to the Ravens. Worst? Why not? Give one more to the Dolphins. The worst safeties, too. There was 10 categories. The Dolphins are last in 5 of them.
I really hope the Dolphins win 10 games, 11 games. I really do.
I do, too. I'd love it, but it's hard to imagine how.
That's tough.
Anyway, the best overall team in terms of talent roster, they pick the... Who do you think? The best.
I would have
overall
to say...
Overall roster talent.
Overall roster
I think you're
going to
get this.
Would it be the...
It's your New York division, and you don't like it.
The Seahawks?
No.
The Rams?
Yeah.
I'd agree with that.
Yeah, Rams are number one. Worst? Do I even need
Dolphins?
To tell you? Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
They won every category. Of course they're going to be the worst.
So basically you have nothing to look forward to this season.
That's what they're saying.
Ah, that's great.
You think I'm making it up?
I don't think they're going to lose 16 games.
USA Today's, yeah, they won't. They might lose 17.
They're not going to go 0-17. It's just not going to happen.
More Gwen and Chris is ahead. Big Five, and after that, we will hear our Friar Friday interview with Robbie Ray. So a lot of good stuff still ahead. Scraby, what do you think about the NFL rule where the guy comes in on the sack for the quarterback, hits him, but not... You know, overly. And because the momentum, he has to land somewhere, the guy hitting the quarterback, and he lands on the quarterback, and the flag, he landed on him. Like, what is this? I don't get.
I absolutely
hate it. I don't mind penalties that are trying to protect. I get, okay. But when it's basically
The guy was trying to do it right.
Follow through of the hit.
Yeah, the guy was trying to do it right.
It's basically gravity that is causing that penalty.
I can understand the penalty.
So I don't think that should be a penalty. I think you got to wave it off there.
I understand the penalty when someone does drive a quarterback into the ground.
Okay,
that's
but then
fine
that's not gravity. That's
no.
Like extra force being used.
And it's all up to the referee's discretion,
yeah,
which is
weird. And they err on the side of caution.
They do.
So... You know, the only thing that makes you feel a little better is that if you get called for it in a game, you know, the other team can get called for it against you.
Yeah.
But it's still frustrating.
Feels like, this is a hater comment, but it feels like the Chiefs get the benefit of that all the time.
I hate to say it. Mahomes has been called, you know, you're not wrong.
That's
I don't know what the stats
annoying.
Say. But it does seem Mahomes has always had the edge. Remember the old dainty fake like he's running out of bounds?
Yes.
And then everybody stops. And then he goes upfield 40 yards?
Yeah, he did it against the 49ers and got a big old first down.
Yeah, it's not right. It's not right. And Mahomes he's been protected. And I know Chiefs fans will say, oh, no. Yeah.
I will never
yes,
forget.
We all think so. So
the time that the referees made up a rule on the spot so that the Chiefs won the game against the Raiders.
All-timer.
We
still don't understand.
The explanation wasn't even
It was
good.
On Thanksgiving, because I watched the game in... I was in Mexico with the basketball, but I remember watching it, and you were watching it here, and the refs met, and they came out of the huddle, and they said,
game
Chiefs
over.
Win!
Yeah, game over.
And all the Raiders were like, what happened there? Whoa, hey!
It was like a false start. Yeah, it
was
anyway.
Weird.
Anyway. Ready?
It was weird.
For...
Back in the days when the Chiefs used to win, last year they were 6-11.
Yeah,
I don't know that that'll hold up again.
Again.
All right, let's get to the Big Five.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, Chris and I broadcasting live from the Bill House Studios where we know how. Tony Gwynn Jr. down at Petco Park getting set for this homestand against the Twins and the Pirates.
How many, we're honestly not excited.
About what?
That the Twins are here.
I'm elated.
You're not. Tony, how many, give me like between 1 and 100 Twins jerseys you think you'll bump into tonight at Petco? Like four? Maybe more than that.
Between but. One, yeah, between, if I'm giving a serious number, I'd say, yeah, 10.
Yeah, there's got to be like 10 Twin fans in San Diego.
The Minnesotans.
I'm sure there's more. Wait, that's a different question. I think there's more than 10 Minnesota fans. Yeah, I just don't think.
No, he answered
the jerseys.
Yeah, he answered who he would run into.
I'd like to see, if I see a Kirby Puckett jersey tonight, I'll be impressed.
Yeah.
Let's put it that
way. I will be too.
I love old Kirby. Those were the days of the Twins.
I can never separate Kirby Puckett from that Chris Rock joke, so I'll just, it's a hilarious joke, but
unfortunately you never saw Kirby basically win the 1991 World Series.
Kirby over the Braves. Puckett.
I love his name because there was a game called Kirby, and so I was into it. I was into Kirby Puckett.
Kirby's
all right,
Puckett.
Anyway.
What?
I remember that game, Kirby?
I don't know what he's talking about. He's lost his mind.
What are you talking about?
I thought the name Kirby Puckett was awesome.
And here he was just telling us that he, you know, radio's made him less crazy. That's a crazy statement right there. I'm just saying.
All right.
Yeah, I thought you said that in the countdown earlier that you're not crazy anymore.
You know,
I don't know what happened to that.
Dig into Ethan Salas' question real quick. We talked about yesterday. I talked about it on the Scraby Show last night. The report yesterday was the Padres are thinking about bringing him up when the rosters expand September 1st. Chris, if they bring him up during a playoff push, is there pressure to play him to see what he's got?
No, there's no pressure at all to do anything. But I think they will. Why not? Put him in a couple of games. I think there's a lot of things that have happened throughout the course of this season that have contributed or to either Ethan Salas hopefully coming up or not coming up when maybe he could have earlier. And I think that they would have maybe thought about bringing him up in the middle of the season at some point, just for even a couple of weeks when, you know, Fermin was hurt or whatever, Camposano was down. But they were not doing well at the time, and I don't think that they ever wanted to put him in a position where he had to be like, okay, we're calling him up to save the season. But now, I don't think that's it. You know, they're making a push for the playoffs. Why not have him hopefully contribute to it? If he goes 0-5, so be it. He's not there to win the game by himself. I hope he contributes. But I think if they bring him up, yeah, let him start a game or two here. Why not? I think that's fine.
Tony, is there pressure to play him if they bring him up?
I don't think there's pressure to play him, no. But I think they will. I don't think at this point, I mean, what would the pressure be? Like, the Padres are, you know, unless, you know, the Fermin Camposano thing goes left, maybe then there's some pressure, but I don't see that happening.
Yeah.
I think they'll have the room, the latitude, whatever you want to call it, to give him the playing time they see fit. But I don't think there's any pressure to do it. I think the only thing the Padres are going to be concerned of come September is finding their way into the playoffs. And if Ethan is going to play a game that helps them do that, I guarantee you everybody will be for it.
The only thing that would be difficult is if the Padres had Johnny Bench at catcher. But they don't. So there's no reason that he can't play a couple of games. And let's see what he's got.
I just realized that Chris took a shot at Twins fans because he doesn't like interleague play. That's why. But this late in the season.
I honestly
like
wasn't taking a shot at Twins. Yeah, it was a shot at interleague play.
Not Twins fans. It just hit me. All right. Number four. Fernando Mendoza and the Raiders lost to the Texans last night on Monday/Thursday night football. Mendoza ended up finishing 8 of 15 for 86 yards and threw a pick six that went 80 yards the other way. Head coach Clint Kubiak says the competition is still on and Kirk Cousins shouldn't feel safe in that starting job. Tony,
was he plus six on the day then? Because he had a touchdown, he threw for 86 yards and then gave 80 up?
Yeah, he was plus six in yardage, but he was minus six in points.
Yeah, so he's like minus 5.4 or something like that. Tony, is there any reason for Fernando Mendoza to start right away?
No. I mean, you can come up, you can make up a reason.
Yeah, I don't think, like Kirk Cousins.
I mean, Kirk could be that bad. But even if he is, what's the rush? The Raiders are not going to have a Cinderella season. I know that they want that very badly, but I don't think that's going to happen. And even if, let's say, Kirk starts the first four games, season's long enough that if they are going to have one of those Cinderella seasons, they'll still be able to have time to do that. So, no, I don't think there's any reason why you have to start him. Like, let him grow. Who knows? Maybe Kirk Cousins goes out, wins you some games, and it buys you more time that you don't have to put him out there, and you can continue. Because what we do know is that the quarterbacks that have been forced to sit a year, the results have been pretty good behind that, right? Whether we're talking Tom, whether we're talking Patrick Mahomes.
Aaron Rodgers, I mean, sat for
Aaron
a long
Rodgers,
time.
Like,
Steve Young,
those,
Phillip Rivers.
The list goes on and on.
I'm trying to think of one more, but I can't.
I know. I mean, but I'm just saying the results have been pretty good. So if don't start him, hopefully Kirk can go out, and who knows, maybe he could put together the Cinderella season, and he buys you time to let this dude be the quarterback you think he should be. You got Tom friggin' Brady in your building. Let that man, and that's another reason why I don't think they're going to. I think if he has as much say in this as we all think he does, he knows better than anybody what being behind a veteran quarterback can do. So, yeah, no, I don't think there's any reason to start.
Chris, any reason to start Fernando Mendoza?
No, absolutely. 100% no. I think the coach, though, Kubiak, is doing a smart thing right now by just making us, making at least outwardly saying that there's still a competition. Why? Because I think that keeps Mendoza sharp for the couple of weeks leading into the season. He doesn't sit there and go, well, all right, I'm not going to be starting.
Yeah, I'm learning this year.
So I slough off a little, whatever. Let him continue to compete. I bet she's even already told Kirk Cousins, you're going to start opening day. But, you know, outwardly, I think they're just saying that, you know, to keep it alive. You know, look, their first game's against the Dolphins. That might be one reason to start Mendoza, because if he's ever going to have success, that would be the day to do it. But
I can't wait for Chris's Dolphins to be like 14-3
wouldn't that
this
be,
year.
I can't wait for that
he
either.
He has talked so much trash about them.
I can't wait for that either, but I'm not thinking it's going to happen.
He always somehow slips in some Dolphins hatred in there.
Well, yeah. Sorry.
Argentina's staff, the soccer team, and players have been given bans totaling a combined 21 games following the altercation that unfolded after their World Cup final defeat to Spain. FIFA confirmed the sanctions today after announcing in July it would be investigating the quote-unquote unsavory actions of Argentina following the final's end. You can go and read how much everybody got suspended and what they doled out. The respective suspensions will be in place for international matches only. It's not going to carry over to the club level. Chris, do you think that this will follow Argentina around? Like, say, just the casual American sports fan.
Will we think that Argentina
is a bunch of bad guys?
Yes.
The soccer team.
Because I almost forgot about it already until the story came out. And then I remembered, oh, yeah, there was some crazy stuff in that game. I don't know. I kind of liked Argentina. I thought they brought a little, you know, spirit to the competition. They crossed the line a few times. A lot of teams have done that. The Raiders have made a history of it. The Detroit Pistons. I don't know if I even should compare Argentina to those, but yeah, I don't have any problem with it. This is their style of play. They kind of had to play that way to keep up, and you know, they got all the way to the finals doing it. No, I don't have any negativity to Argentina.
Tony, do you think that this will follow Argentina around?
I hope so.
Mm.
I can't stand Argentina. I hope all these cats. I hope all of them. I hope every one of them. It just, you know, I give Messi a pass, I guess.
Yeah, why?
Was he involved in it?
I don't even know. I doubt he would be.
No, but he didn't also do anything to discourage it from his teammates.
I mean,
he is
like Jesus. He could be. He could be like, hey, everybody, stop.
That's how it feels. Yeah. So yeah, I hope it does follow him. I wish it would last into the club season too, but they can't do too much. There's too much money involved in that.
Just for everyone to know, I'm going to bring up Argentina's unsavory actions every time we talk about the soccer team, so we remember, Chris.
Okay.
Number two.
You guys are looking at me like I'm weird today or something.
Not just today.
You kind of got started with some weird behavior, but never mind.
Okay. Could Sergio Garcia be a contributing factor
Speaking
to the
weird.
End of LIV Golf? A new report says yes. The Financial Times wrote, quote, in April, as LIV golfers floundered at the Masters, golf's most prestigious tournament, Spanish star Sergio Garcia damaged the Augusta National course during a fit of rage in the final round. People familiar with the matter say the PIF fund's governor was so embarrassed that the sequence of events, it helped lead to his decision to pull the plug on PIF's financing of the rival tour, as the fund focuses more on its huge domestic commitments in the kingdom. Tony, do you think Sergio Garcia's fit of rage actually played a part here?
I don't know, but I hope it did. Like, I really, really hope it did. I mean, the irony of all ironies, right? LIV is trying to thrive. They've been picking off players from the PGA, and they didn't do their homework on one of the guys they picked off. Not knowing that he has an innate ability to throw these tension tantrums.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, PGA was always willing to kind of just look the other way most of the time.
Yeah.
But now he did it at the wrong place. He did it at the holy grail of places.
Yep. Yep.
They don't even, you know, they don't even let everybody be a member there.
You're not even allowed to call fans fans. You're supposed to call them patrons.
Yeah, you can't call fans
fans.
That's
how serious
right?
it is at Augusta National.
It's ridiculous. But, yeah, no, I think, I think their lack of success is what really shut it down. But it's a great story that Sergio Garcia.
You're putting some blame on him.
That it is his tender tantrum is the reason that they said, you know what? I'm not putting my money in this anymore.
If you haven't seen the video, just look up Sergio Garcia at the Masters, and you'll find many videos of him freaking out at the Masters. Chris, do you think Sergio Garcia actually played a part in all of this?
I think the fact that they that LIV was just has been and probably will always be just a horrible product is enough to end the world of LIV and everything it represents. It represents greed. It represents, you know, certainly style over substance.
Yeah, yeah.
All of the things that I think we hate as sports fans, that is LIV golf. And I think that is hopefully going to be its legacy, you know, to remember the fans out there. And maybe just one small thing it did for the sport, which was, you know, at least shine a light on some of the conditions and the way the players were treated. So
those terrible conditions.
It couldn't have been too bad, but, you know, the PGA had to tidy a few things up. But yeah, overall, Sergio Garcia is a waste of my time. He's a baby. And, you know, I'm shocked that he's even kind of had the following that he's had, to be honest with you.
Real quick, I know we got to get going. Nah, you know what? Stop.
Go.
Isn't it weird? Isn't it kind of crazy how those things are trying? Chris was making the point that, you know, LIV stands for a lot of the things that most of us can't stand, mm-hmm. right? Greed, mm-hmm. all these things. And then on the backside of that, he says, you know, well, they did help PGA kind of clean up some of the bad things that they had going. And it's just, there's just levels to this, right? They're bad things for the PGA Tour. Most of us normal folks
would be like, oh, goodness, yeah, I know. They only had T-bone steak at the post game instead of porterhouse and ribs. Yeah, I get you, Tony.
I just always find that those two worlds like have to collide, especially as it pertains to entertainment and sports.
That's true.
It's true. It's about the bottom line. I mean, still, if LIV was making a ton of money, there would have never
would
been
be
an
going
issue,
nowhere.
Right? Yeah.
Going nowhere.
Yeah.
Number one.
All right, Chris actually brought this to my attention this morning, but bar and restaurant owners are considering lawsuits over an apparent NFL Sunday ticket bait and switch. Distributor Everpass previously told establishments that DirecTV had permanently lost Sunday ticket rights, prompting many to spend heavily on a new streaming infrastructure. However, DirecTV unexpectedly secured a new deal last month, making the costly upgrades completely unnecessary for some of these business owners. Frustrated owners are now exploring legal action to recoup their wasted expenses. And in the documentation, it does say that they don't think that DirecTV will ever be a part of this again. So it seems like it's a pretty good case on the bar owner side. Chris, when will we as the customer of the NFL get tired of this stuff?
Never. We will take it.
I'm going to ask this question until you finally come to my side.
Well, we'll take it in the you-know-where for the rest of time. Sorry. But
we shouldn't, though.
But we will. We shouldn't.
Let me ask Tony Gwynn Jr. He had DirecTV.
He chose to switch
to another service because football was off DirecTV.
Yep.
Now it's back on DirecTV, Tony. So did you personally, were you affected by this just on your own?
Yes. And
okay,
The funny thing was, I saw the commercial with Saquon Barkley the other day, like jumping through the field goal post. And I was thinking to myself, why is DirecTV continuing to do this? Like, they don't have the
NFL. Yeah, they don't even have it.
They don't even have it. And to find out in that article that Chris sent today that they actually have it, I'm not going to lie. I was lightweight pissed off. I changed my whole household. Because DirecTV didn't have it.
And DirecTV is a pain in the butt because you have to have like a receiver in every room. You got to have all this equipment.
Yeah, and so listen, I won't miss that part. You're paying for equipment, all that stuff. But I was already dialed in.
I was already
it was already fully done. Like, I don't know. I felt a way reading that article.
Yeah, and the NFL doesn't care, and they don't care because they know you'll still watch football one way or another this year. But I do want to add one last thing. Because this will never happen. But this is a chance for the NFL to do right by all of us one time. They could come out easily and say, hey, you know what? We're gonna recoup the losses of all those bar owners around the country for misleading them. It would be a small price for the NFL to pay to do something really nice.
You know,
but I know they won't do it. I'm just bringing it up as a possibility.
You know what the crazy part is? I mean, I don't, even though it may not even be possible, people would love the NFL that much more if they did something for...
Wouldn't that be nice?
One thing good.
Just one. Yeah. Just look out for the little guy one time.
Yeah, right.
But in lieu of that, I hope that they file a lawsuit, but they're not going to win because the NFL has way more powerful lawyers than any bar owner could come up with.
That won't even go to trial until 2040. drain you out of money.
Unless you're Shohei, then it'll go to trial in 2 days. All right, when we get back, we are going to get you set for this game with the Padres and the Twins. And Robbie Ray joins us on the other side, 97.3 The Fan.